Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a mid-bass in Ableton Live 12 that feels right at home in jungle, old-school drum and bass, and rolling D&B, while staying super friendly on CPU. And the big idea here is simple. We are not trying to build some giant, overcooked modern bass monster with a dozen heavy plugins. We want something lean, focused, and musical. A bass that has attitude, movement, and grit, but still leaves space for the kick, snare, and sub to do their job. So think of this as a three-jaw bass system. One part gives you the notes, one part gives you the dirt, and one part, if needed, gives you a bit of width up top. If one device is trying to do all three jobs at once, that is usually where CPU starts climbing and the sound starts getting blurry. Let's start from scratch. Create a new MIDI track and load a stock synth. For the lowest CPU load, Operator is the smartest starting point. It is light, clean, and perfect for the style. Wave Eatable can also work if you keep it simple, and Analog is fine too, but Operator is the efficient choice. Set the instrument to mono, because for this kind of bass we usually want one note at a time, not a stack of voices. If you want that classic sliding jungle phrasing, turn Glide or Portamento on as well. That little slide is part of the language. Now for the core tone. We want something that has harmonic content, but doesn't need huge processing to stay interesting. With Operator, a great starting point is Oscillator as your main source, using a saw or a saw-like harmonic tone. Then bring an Oscillator B very quietly. You can use a sine or triangle for extra body, or detune it slightly for a bit of roughness. Keep it subtle. We are not chasing wide modern super saw energy here. We are after that focused res adjacent mid-bass feel. A good rough starting point is OSC at full level, OSC B much lower, maybe around -12 to -18 dB. If you want a slightly unstable edge, detune OSC B by a few cents, or use a small semitone offset very carefully. That gives the bass a little tension, without making it sound messy. Then shape the tone with a low-pass filter. Start somewhere around 150 to 400 Hz for cutoff, depending on the note range, and how dark you want the patch to begin with. Add a little resonance, but not too much. Enough to give the filter some character, not so much that it starts whistling or fighting the mix. Now let's shape the envelope, because this is where the bass starts to feel like an instrument instead of just a tone. For a tight, punchy old-school style bass, keep the attack very fast, basically instant or just a few milliseconds. Decay can sit somewhere around 120 to 300 milliseconds. Sustain can stay fairly high if you want a steady rolling note, or lower if you want more of a pluck. Release should stay short to medium so notes don't smear into each other. If you want a more stabby, percussive bass phrase, shorten the decay and lower the sustain. If you want a smooth rolling line, keep the notes a bit longer and let glide do more of the work. And this is a good time for a small teacher note. In jungle and old school D&B, the rhythm of the MIDI often matters more than the exact waveform. A bass that ends cleanly and leaves good rests will groove harder than a complicated patch playing sloppy note lengths. Next, let's add movement. And here's the key. Don't overstack modulation just because it feels like more movement equals better. Usually, one strong movement source is enough. A classic move is to put auto filter after the synth if you want a separate filter stage. Use a low pass 12 or 24 dB type, and keep the cutoff somewhere that lets the bass breathe without losing weight. Resonance can stay modest. If you want a little extra energy, a touch of drive helps. You can automate that cutoff over phrases or map it to a macro. For jungle and old school vibes, that opening and closing filter motion is pure gold. It gives the bass a breathing feel, and it helps create tension before a fill, a snare roll, or a drop in. Now let's make it dirty, but efficiently. Instead of building a huge distortion chain, use simple stock tools. Saturator is one of the best choices here. Put it after the synth or filter, add a little drive, maybe +2 to +6 dB, and turn soft clip on. Then match the output so you're comparing tone, not just volume. That one move can thicken the mid-range, help the bass speak on smaller speakers, and give it that denser, rougher D&B presence. If you want to push things a bit harder, drum bus can work too, but use it carefully. We are usually not after the boom section for a mid-bass. We are more interested in a bit of drive and harmonics. Now, a very important bass lesson. Control the low end early. If this mid-bass is going to sit nicely with a kick and sub, it should not be trying to own the whole bottom of the mix. Drop in a Q8 and high pass gently somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz, depending on how much body you actually want in the patch. If the sound is boxy, carve a little around 200 to 400 Hz. If it gets too sharp or rasping, ease off around 2.5 to 5 kHz. The goal is not to make the bass thin, the goal is to make it clear. And if you want the patch to pass the small speaker test, this is where you often add a little harmonic content in the mids instead of just boosting lows. That gives the bass definition without mud. Now let's talk motion again, because jungle bass thrives on movement, but keep it efficient. You can use automation, a built-in LFO if your device has one, Max for Live LFO if you already use it, or even an envelope follower map to a macro. The best targets for movement are usually cutoff, wave eatable position, drive or envelope amount. Keep the depth subtle to medium. You want the bass to feel alive, not like it is constantly doing a special effect. A very practical trick is to build an instrument rack and map your main controls to macros. For example, macro 1 can be cutoff, macro 2 resonance, macro 3 drive, macro 4 glide, macro 5 width of any top layer, macro 6 filter envelope amount, macro 7 output level, and macro 8 character or modulation depth. That way, the bass becomes playable. You can perform it, automate it, and duplicate it with different macro settings for different sections, all without loading extra instruments. Now, about width. For this style, the core low end should stay mostly mono. That keeps it punchy and club safe. If you want width, add it only to a high pass layer. A simple approach is to build a rack with two chains. Chain 1 is your core bass, mono and central. Chain 2 is a character layer, high passed around 200 to 300 Hz, with a tiny bit of chorus ensemble or another light widening effect. Keep that layer low in the mix. It should add air and attitude, not steal the low mids. If the low end gets too wide, you lose punch and can run into phase problems. So the rule is, mono in the core, width only above it. Now let's make the patch actually work in a DNB arrangement. Write a MIDI pattern that behaves like a percussive instrument. Try offbeat stabs, syncopated call and response phrases, short notes between snare hits, little slides into the root note, and occasional ghost notes. At around 170 BPM, a great jungle bass line might hit on beat 1, answer on the end of 2, slide into beat 3, then leave a small gap before the snare fill. And here's a big arrangement tip. Let the drums breathe. If your break has strong snare hits on 2 and 4, don't constantly crowd those moments with bass. The bass should dance with the break, not sit on top of it. This is where old school and jungle energy comes from. The bass and the drums feel like one conversation. Let's talk CPU saving workflow, because this lesson is specifically about getting a strong result without wasting resources. Use one synth where possible. Duplicate the MIDI clip if you need variation, instead of stacking multiple instruments. Avoid lots of unison voices. Keep the device chain simple. Synth, filter, saturation, EQ. Freeze or render the track once the sound is working. And if you need more aggression, make a parallel dirt layer instead of turning the main bass into a giant overprocessed mess. That parallel approach is incredibly useful. Duplicate the bass. High pass the copy. Distort it more heavily, maybe compress it lightly, then blend it underneath the clean core. You often get more power that way, and you still keep the main tone clean and defined. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the bass too wide in the low mids. That weakens the groove. Keep the core mono. Second, don't overdo distortion. Too much drive turns a solid bass into harsh noise. Always compare processed and bypassed at matched volume. Third, don't stack too many oscillators and unison voices unless you really need them. That is one of the fastest ways to burn CPU and clutter the mix. Fourth, don't let the bass fight the kick and snare. If the drums are strong, the bass should leave space. And fifth, pay attention to note length. In jungle, short notes and well-timed rests are often more important than some fancy synth trick. Now for a few pro moves if you want the patch to lean darker and heavier. You can add a tiny bit of controlled instability, like subtle pitch drift, very mild FM, or slight cutoff modulation. That makes the bass feel alive. You can also use note slides into accented beats. That's classic DNB language. Slide into the root before the snare, or glide down a semitone for tension. Even small slides can make the line feel instantly more authentic. Another strong move is to build two bass states inside one rack. Make one state round and restrained, and another rude and forward. Then use macros to switch between them by changing cutoff, drive, resonance, and envelope snap. That gives you arrangement variation, without needing a second instrument. You can also make a pseudo-res sound without building a huge chain. Just duplicate the core oscillator or use a second oscillator slightly detuned. Keep it restrained. High pass the widened content. Automate the filter a little over one or two bars. The point is motion, not just thickness. And if you want the bass to feel more expressive, map velocity to useful parameters like filter amount, drive, or envelope depth. Then the accents in your MIDI actually matter. Here's a simple practice exercise to lock this in. Build a monooperator bass using one saw source and one quieter harmonic source. Add a low-pass filter, a medium glide time, saturator with soft clip, and EQ8 with a gentle high-pass around 100 Hz. Then write a 4-bar loop at 170 BPM. Make bar 1 a root note plus a short response note, bar 2 a slide into a lower note, bar 3 a repeat with one note changed, and bar 4 a little more open so the break can breathe. Automate the cutoff slightly over the 4 bars. Then duplicate the clip and make one version darker and one brighter. If you want to level that up, make 3 playable versions from the same rack, a clean roll, a dirtier roll, and a fill or tension version. Keep the core source simple, keep the low end controlled, and make each version clearly different in the mix. That is a really practical way to build a proper old school DNB bass toolkit. So, the recap is this.